Hello and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you like the idea of sustainable weight loss that's both healthy and budget-friendly, our Nutrition for Weight Loss Foundations program is here to help you reach your health goals. With 90% of our participants experiencing weight loss, our program proves that effective long-term weight management doesn't need to be expensive or complicated. We skip the costly prepackaged meals and pills and focus on real food nutrition that's easy to incorporate into your daily routine, helping you feel energized, reducing joint pain, enhancing mental clarity, and of course, losing weight, all without straining your budget or risking your health. Whether you join us online or in person, our flexible classes are designed with your lifestyle in mind. Ready to be part of the success? Classes start the week of May 14th and spots are filling up fast. Reserve yours today at weightandwellness.com/N4WL to feel your best this summer and beyond. Thanks for tuning in to Dishing Up Nutrition and enjoy the show.
It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in nutritional information that will improve your health. Joining me today is Wendy Cates Dancer, and she's our co-host. She is a registered nurse, a nutrition counselor, an educator. And often you're here with me on Dishing Up Nutrition. It's been a while, though. It's been about almost a month, I think, Wendy.
Probably, yeah. It's good to be back.
Good. It's nice having you here because we have one of your favorite topics today.
Well, yeah, I have many favorite topics, but this really is a huge favorite of mine. Absolutely.
So what is our topic?
Our topic is menopause and perimenopause.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. And it's a huge topic. I mean, we could talk about this. Actually, we should take a couple of days to talk about it. We're going to try to do the best we can in an hour because it's a huge topic. And, you know, when we look at menopause and perimenopause, I mean, we think absolutely women,
yep.
Right? But what can women expect and how we really want to look at, because this is not something that people stop and think about when they think about menopause, is how can I eat?
Yeah, that's our good.
You know, how can I eat to prevent bone loss? How can I eat to prevent night sweats?
Hot flashes. Mood swings.
You know, how does nutrition affect or reduce these symptoms and help us with that part in our hormonal shift in menopause? And as we know that every woman's body is unique.
So not every woman can do the same thing and have the same results.
That's right. Right. And the problems and symptoms that women experience at menopause. So what we really want to do is we want to see where everybody's at out there.
Yes.
So we want
Maybe
to open
no one's
up.
Having any problems with it.
I mean, we can just get through this quick, right?
I don't think that's true, but possibly.
So we wanted to open up the phone lines to anyone who has questions or has a problem or symptoms that of menopause. So the number here is 651-641-1071. And we'd love for you to join our conversation on menopause and perimenopause today.
You know, Wendy, it's a big problem for a lot of women because almost 70 million American women are in menopausal in those menopausal years.
That's
right
a lot
now.
Of women. We could start a revolution.
And a concern that many of the menopausal women that come to us for a nutritional consultation is they're having trouble sleeping. That's a big concern for a lot of those 70 million women in menopause. So
exactly. And sleep is really one of the, you know, the big issues in perimenopause and menopause. And we also know that, you know, this goes way beyond menopausal women, but because 40 million Americans, that's a lot of Americans.
Well, you know, when we're working with clients, Wendy, as you know, I would say probably at 2/3 of the people that come in having problems sleeping.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or some other kind of issue with their sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. It happens way too often.
So that's one of the first things that we often deal with, isn't it?
Is sleep.
Let's get you sleeping through the night.
Right. That's very important, because if you don't get to sleep, everything really kind of falls apart, doesn't it?
It does. Yep.
Yeah. So we have 40 million Americans suffering from sleep disorders. Sleep disorders such as sleep apnea. Now, I was not taught about sleep apnea 42 years ago when I went to nursing school.
Oh, I'm sure not. No.
So, you know, it's, but now, again, all the people, I mean, it's.
Even again, children are having sleep apnea.
Right. Exactly. Oh. Right. And that's at where you actually stop breathing.
Exactly.
And it causes great stress in your heart. Very serious condition. And lots of people are suffering from this.
Mm-hmm.
And insomnia, of course, restless leg syndrome. Oh. You can't sleep when your legs keep moving.
And lots of people with that.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, the night sweats.
Mm-hmm.
In menopause and perimenopause, you wake up in the middle of a sweat. Frequent urination. And also for many of our clients, they feel that nobody really closes their office anymore. In other words, what do we mean by that? It's like Well, first of all, I have many people that work way too long hours, you know, like 12 hours, and then they have to come home and complete something for next week yet, or planning and stuff like that. But
you mean somebody like a nutritionist who's up to 1 o'clock working on
the radio script?
Maybe.
It's like that, you know,
oh, yes.
But also we have our emails to keep up with, don't we? You turn on the computer and you go to your email, and the next thing you know, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours later, and you've just missed 2 hours of sleep.
Yes. So it is really that lack of sleep is a major concern for many women that are perimenopause and menopausal. I mean, it is. If it's bad habits, if it's hot flashes, if it's, you know, just they get kind of that wired feeling and they can't sleep.
Right.
It's a major concern for a lot of women.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And we know that, we've had numerous studies that link lack of sleep with other major, it's a major national epidemic.
Right.
For obesity is just one of them. For example, people who sleep only 5 hours a night have been found to be 74%. That's huge. More likely to become obese than those who sleep 7 to 9 hours nightly.
And now, you know, Wendy, you're an RN, a nurse, and I know you used to work in hospitals and all those other kinds of places. I bet that there were a lot of nurses that you worked with, especially the nurses that work night shift. I bet they were not getting more than 5 hours of sleep a night, were they? Or
yeah.
Day.
Well,
or
it's
whatever.
Not just other nurses. I did that myself. I mean, I worked nights for several years here and there, and you just can't make up on that sleep, and you get just totally tired. You can't think. But also, if you really look at the night nurses, many of them are overweight. I mean, my brother-in-law would tell you that. He works the night shift as a respiratory therapist down at the Mayo Clinic,
mm-hmm.
and he's just appalled at how overweight many of the nurses are that work nights.
Here we are. 74% more likely to become obese if you sleep 5 hours or less a night.
Yeah.
So.
Well why is that?
Oh.
You know, we have really nothing in our physiological makeup to make up for lack of sleep, you know? And
right.
We don't. And so when we sleep, that's when our body repairs the damage that you did the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Makes all our hormones and everything we need for the next day. And it's also when it cleanses itself.
Right.
So when you're short-circuiting any of those processes, you end up in trouble.
Right.
Obese.
I mean, I know if I don't get enough sleep, if I don't get my 8 hours, the brain doesn't work so good now.
Well, the other thing is when you're tired, what do you reach for? Coffee, sugar.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So an additional to lack of sleep, you know, menopausal women, I mean, this is one of the other big complaints that they have is, why am I gaining weight? I'm not changing my eating. Why am I gaining weight? And, but I still believe lack of quality of sleep is just one factor, but it is an important factor at menopause.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're having trouble sleeping, here's an email that a client sent me last week. The magnesium you recommended is working great for me. As you know, I have had trouble sleeping for the past several years, and after starting with 400 milligrams of magnesium glycinate, I'm getting 8 hours of sleep every night. Thanks, Wendy. I feel like a new person.
Oh, perfect.
Isn't that great?
So magnesium glycinate really does work wonders for many people. You know, it even works for kids, and it even works for men. So you don't have to be menopausal for it to work. But for some, magnesium helps, but it still doesn't get a person a full night's of sleep. So some people need additional ideas for getting more sleep. So
exactly.
So we want to give you some more ideas.
Okay, let's do it. So food habits may be holding you back from a good night's sleep, such as caffeine.
Yes, and
that's huge.
I had to stop all coffee.
Did you?
Even in the morning. None.
Nada for you. So caffeine, of course, when we think of caffeine, coffee or sodas. Sodas, a lot of people don't realize sodas have a lot of caffeine in them. Chocolate has a lot of caffeine in it. And some teas. I mean, some people need to cut out the teas, too. And for many of us, as we age, we actually do become more sensitive to caffeine. So even though you weren't one of those people young in your younger days, maybe you've developed a sensitivity. And even some of the headache medications contain high levels of caffeine.
Excedrin and things like that.
Exactly.
Yes.
So to move forward, to get that sleep, we want to cut out coffee, soda, chocolate, and even caffeine and switch to herbal teas.
Yes. So, should we maybe take kind of a quick early break here? Before we do that, Wendy, let me just give out the phone number again. It's 651-641-1071. In case people want to call in and they have menopausal problems or symptoms and they want to talk about.
I think they're all at the state fair.
Maybe they are.
Which is where we should be. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we are discussing the role nutrition plays in helping you maintain menopausal health. A concern we often hear is this big concern about weight gain during those menopausal years.
Oh, we hear that all the time.
Perimenopause, don't we? Absolutely. Yes, our metabolism does slow down during this time, and we also tend to be less active, many women. We may have estrogen dominance, or there we are, maybe at the state fair, where we eat a 7-ounce container of cheese curds.
Oh, yes.
Consuming 140 calories, and we're not even talking about all the trans fats in there, are we?
That's just one container, Wendy.
That's one container. And they're making them smaller these days, too.
Well, good.
Or treating your treat. I'd love everybody goes, I need a treat. Treat yourself to those little chocolate chip cookies at 580 calories. Or to top it off, you just have one corn dog at 350 calories. You have just taken in 2,100 calories in just these three snacks. And nobody eats just three snacks at the state fair, do they?
Well, I mean, I heard one host on this show, on this station that said she spent $200 one day
in food
at the fair.
Woohoo! Okay, so then you decide, well, I'm just going to exercise more. You're going to walk off those extra calories. Well, grab your tennis shoes because you're going to be walking for 21 miles.
Just for these three things.
Just for these three things. So, and I know people walk a lot at the state fair, but I don't think they walk 21 miles.
I don't think so either.
So if you have any questions for us about menopause, again, Dar already gave you the number, but here we are, 651-641-1071. We'll be right back with Dishing Up Nutrition.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you are interested in even more nutritional information, Let me introduce you to Grace, who listens to Dishing Up Nutrition in New York City. I think it was New York City.
All right.
And she has a wonderful blog, which she calls Grace Milk Honey. And you can log on to her blog at gracemilkhoney.blogspot.com. And all of us at Dishing Up Nutrition send our greetings, and we really appreciate you, Grace. So thanks for blogging about us and even adding some
new... That's great. Isn't that
wonderful? Yeah, and having new information. So we've got listeners all over now.
New York City.
Yes.
All right.
Isn't that great?
That's wonderful. Well, before we went on break, we were talking about foods and what you can do to sleep. So, and we were talking about caffeine, you know, get rid of the caffeine. Mm-hmm. But another food habit that may be holding you back from a good night's sleep is eating sugar and processed carbs. The bagels, the cereal, the popcorn, the M&Ms, or the pasta meals. We recommend balanced meals throughout the day and a healthy snack at bedtime. So what's a healthy snack? A sliced apple with some almond butter is a good one. Or blueberries and heavy cream. Yep, that's the real whipped cream.
Mm-hmm.
And or even a peach with peaches are great right now with
yes,
a sliced avocado or a quarter cup of nuts. A combination of good carbs, real fruit, and healthy fat keeps the blood sugar stable throughout the night, and more serotonin is able to be received into the cells, making for a calm, peaceful night's sleep.
So real food helps to balance hormones so that, you know, you sleep better, you have less hot flashes, less mood swings. Eating real food is the habit that will move you forward to good health through menopause, actually. So let's take some callers. I know we got a few people waiting for us this morning.
Kathy, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy. You have a question for us?
Well, I am one of those who doesn't sleep. I was a night nurse for 20 years, and I'm still nursing, but during the day.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I take prescription sleeping pills and have started on an antidepressant to see if that will help. And I can just, you know, I can take two sleeping pills and wake up in, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours.
Well, we'll kind of, Wendy and I'll kind of do this one together. But first of all, you have to take magnesium glycinate, because it gets absorbed very well. And I hate to say this, but I would really recommend our magnesium glycinate, because I know that it works well. And
okay.
So probably you need, you know, probably about 600 milligrams of magnesium at bedtime.
Okay.
So you can get to sleep or not.
Do you get to sleep,
no,
Kathy?
I don't get to sleep without something.
Well, okay. then I would recommend some melatonin, then a sublingual one that you put under your tongue, probably about 5 milligrams.
Yeah, that's
okay, I have tried all of the over-the-counter things at one point or another.
But
you've tried the magnesium, Kathy?
Not the magnesium.
Okay. And then
I've taken melatonin, but just pills.
Yeah, and that's the difference, because sometimes people's digestive systems don't work as well. And then the one that you swallow digestively just doesn't work. So the sublingual works better for people.
Okay.
And then you're in menopause, right?
No, I'm 66.
Oh, you're what?
66.
Okay. Oh, you need some progesterone cream. And that's the hormone that helps us feel calm, helps us sleep. You know, personally, when I hit 65, I thought, oh, Dar, you don't need progesterone any longer. And so I quit taking it.
Mm-hmm.
And about 3 months later, I was having trouble sleeping, and I couldn't figure it out because I never have trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. And finally, when I was working with a client, I thought, oh, I forgot. I don't take my progesterone any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So the second night that I took it, I was sleeping again. And so progesterone
where do you put it?
Well, I put it over my thyroid, which is, you know, the front of your neck. And I put it on inside my wrists and palms of my hands every night, and about a quarter of a teaspoon. And that's kind of an over-the-counter progesterone cream. A good quality one is.
But you want to make sure you get a good quality one. And
yeah.
So I think, Kathy, your problem is not going to be easy to solve, or maybe it will be. But when I look at your history of 30 years of working nights,
Well, and I've just always been a night person. I mean, there's often times if I work all day and I just come home and just rest for 20 minutes, I can stay up for 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
Right.
A problem.
Not so good for your body, though, right?
No.
But why don't you try some of these things that we recommended? And I also would really recommend with the, again, the complicated picture that we have here, sleep medications, et cetera, that you would consider doing a consultation with one of us at the office or...
I agree with you, Wendy.
I think that would really, because then we could really look in depth at, you know, the medications you're on and your history and put you on the right plan. DAR, of course, magnesium, melatonin is great for people that, you know, we're working shifts like you. I absolutely agree. But you want to get the food in there too. And it's all really important. You know, when you get that all together, I think you'll be sleeping better.
And I stay up late, so of course I eat.
Yep.
You know, and so you've got a whole, you know, you got 30 years of habits that need to be changed.
Yeah, and when you stay up later, your adrenals actually start kicking in again, and then you're not going to be able to sleep. So it's all that sleep hygiene, too. So
right.
So how do I, where do I call?
651-699- 3438.
Okay.
And what part of town do you live in?
Burnsville.
Okay. I mean, call, you know, we have
Lakeville.
We have an office in St. Paul. So either, but if you call the 651-699-3438, they can, you know, decide where it's going to work for you for an appointment.
Great.
Okay.
Right. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Good luck, Kathy. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, so when we are dealing with perimenopause and menopause, the picture becomes often complicated, doesn't it, Dar?
It does.
Because we have our history and of how we've managed our health, you know, working 30 years as a night nurse, you know, like Kathy. And we, you know, we really do need to look at all that. So people need a lot of guidance.
So Wendy, mention about the fact that you're going to be teaching a class coming up in September.
Yes, I am. This is why I like to do this, because I'm almost 60. I'll be 60 September 4th.
Oh.
So, wow. I did the whole menopause thing a couple years ago. But I'm always surprised at how little women, but not just women, everybody. I mean, it doesn't seem like our doctors know a lot about female hormones either, or even a lot of the experts, you know, with these hormones. So we need to really start looking at this and delving into this and, you know, what can we do and learning more about our bodies. So I am very privileged to teach the hot flash solutions for perimenopause and menopause, which, by the way, we're going to be doing twice in September. One is September 9th in White Bear. Mm-hmm. That's my home office. And September 22nd in Wayzata. And I don't know what days of the week those are. I think the September 9th is a Thursday and the September 22nd is a Wednesday. So for times, just go to our website, weightandwellness.com, or call the number Dar gave out before, 651-699-3438.
Right. And so should we take some more callers, or how are we doing here?
I think we have, yeah, let's take, we have a couple minutes.
Okay.
Linda, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
A year ago, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer and underwent a radical hysterectomy at the age of 44, which threw me into immediate menopause.
Uh-huh.
And I am through the worst of it. I've elected not to take any hormones just because of the cancer risk. And
right.
I am cancer-free, by the way.
Right. Good for you.
Thanks. But my biggest question now is the weight gain. I'm working out more than I ever have. I eat really healthy. And I've just gone up a size, and it's really frustrating. And I don't know if is it temporary, waiting for my body to adjust to the lack of estrogen, or is there something else I could be doing? You know, I have a 2-year-old, so I can only, you know, I try to work out, you know, 4 times a week, but that's really my limit.
Well, you know, one of the things we over the last 2 years, we developed a series of classes called Nutrition for Weight Loss. And so as we've been working with people, we have realized that for people that have, like you have a very stubborn metabolism right now, and
yeah.
not of your choosing, but because of the surgeries and everything that's gone on. And so what people that have these stubborn metabolisms, they have to be exact with their food. And so that they basically, you know, it's a pain, but you have to weigh and measure your foods. And you can't skip meals. You have to eat on schedule. And then when you start doing that and taking some key supplements like fish oil and things like that, sure, that your metabolism will start working again. And okay, but it takes that kind of guidance that people need to do that, is to be exact. And that, you know, and sometimes you think, wow, this, I can't believe that I have to be this exact with my food in order to lose weight. But you do. And that's just because you have a very slow, stubborn metabolism right now.
Okay.
Well, the other part of that, though, Linda, is the, you know, the stress that your body has gone through. I'm assuming you had chemotherapy.
You know, I didn't. I had two surgeries, and they got all the cancer with the first
great
surgery. So
great.
Okay.
I didn't have to do chemo, thankfully.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
That is great. But, yeah, but again, there's that stress that your body went under,
I mean,
too.
Yes, so even the surgeries add that added stress to your bodies.
Probably wiped out some good bacteria.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
right.
So those are some of the things that we address. We certainly address it in our nutrition for weight loss, but we also address it as in individual.
And the menopause class would be great too,
yeah,
Kathy, because, or, I'm sorry, Linda, you were thrown into it like right away.
Yeah, it was pretty intense. And I guess my question too is, once I do start, you know, if I take the class and I start measuring my food and I'm really diligent about it, how long does it take to kind of, you know, I'm kind of desperate, how long does it take to get your metabolism kind of back in working order?
Well, I think you should probably think in terms of doing that for about 6 weeks before you might notice that your metabolism starts working for you. To be honest, I mean, we're painting the worst scenario to you. It might happen after a week.
Yep.
Oh,
but,
okay,
you know, it is very healthy eating. That's the other thing. You're not compromising your immune system with the way that we suggest that you eat. You are actually supporting your immune system, which you have to do now. No question. But
right,
great questions.
Yeah, right, Linda. Well, you take care of yourself. It's time for us to take a break.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for calling. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. We have two very wonderful classes starting in September. One, starting on September 13th, we'll be offering our weight and wellness class in many different locations. And Mary will be teaching in Chanhassen Tuesday nights, Joan, Cambridge, and Angela will be teaching in Edina, Orly, and Andover. I myself am going to be teaching in White Bear on Thursday night. But there are many more classes. Go to our website, weightandwellness.com. And remember, nurses out there, you get continuing education credits. You will get 6 2-hour classes full of life-changing information, all for only $225.
Oh,
and
that's
stay
great.
Tuned for our exciting details on our new class for weight loss.
If you're like me, you try to eat right, but the definition of healthy eating seems like a moving target. Should I eat low carb or low fat? Do eggs and butter raise my cholesterol? Is coffee good after all? Don't rely on sound bites and infomercials for something as important as your health. You deserve recommendations based on biochemistry. Nutritional Weight and Wellness is offering MyTalk 107.1 listeners a complimentary e-newsletter that is chock full of nutrition information and tips. The Weight and Wellness Way newsletter provides sound information and practical strategies from a nutritionist's perspective. Learn a natural approach to healthy eating based on real whole foods you buy at the grocery store. All this, and best of all, it's free. To subscribe to the complimentary Weight and Wellness Way e-newsletter, go to weightandwellness.com and enter your email address. Then watch your inbox every month for nutrition news and special offers that will help you look and feel your best. For information on other services at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, call 651-699-3438.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and our co-host is Wendy Cates Dancer, registered nurse, nutrition educator. In fact, on September 9th, Thursday, at White Bear Lake, she's going to be teaching our hot flash class, Solutions for Perimenopause and Menopause. And if you want more information about it, check our website, weightandwellness.com, or you can give, maybe Amy, I'm not sure who's working this morning, But you can call 651-699-3438, and they'll be happy to answer all the questions for you.
Yep.
And
so we
calls.
Have some callers that are still okay. waiting on the line very patiently for us. Kathy, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Great.
Great, and you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I have a question regarding, I was 38 or 39 when I went through menopause.
Okay.
So is that going to, later on, you know, I'm 59 now, is that going to cause problems later on when I get more senior-like?
In what way? What kind of problems are you thinking?
Like right now, I'm having problems. I've lost 15 pounds in a month and stuff, but I had been gaining it, and I do have a thyroid condition and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But just saying, you know, with being so young. And
sure.
Stuff,
well, you
yeah,
know,
that is early.
To kind of answer that question realistically, I think you're a person that needs to be eating very, very carefully all the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, you have to be eating sufficient protein, and you should be eating, you know, protein that doesn't have all those hormones in, because what they have, you know, they tend to have extra antibiotics and hormones, and they give them hormones to kind of fatten them up faster.
Right. Well, I make sure I drink the hormone-free milk. And
okay,
stuff.
Great.
Okay. So, and then try to eat lots of vegetables, because they give you the antioxidant protection you need. And you need to eat healthy fats like olive oil and avocados and all those things, because what that's going to do is keep your bones healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep, you know, your metabolism working better. It's going to keep the kind of your brain chemistry working better. So it's going to do the things that maybe your body isn't making estrogen, and it's certainly not making progesterone now because you're not ovulating.
Mm-hmm.
But it will start to keep everything balanced. You know, and it's just one of the realities. If you start eating sugar or processed carbs like cereals and those things, I mean, they just cause more inflammation in your body, and you can gain weight very easily that way.
Yeah, well, I'm off of that during this diet program I'm on.
Well, so. Sometimes these, you know, these, we hate to call them diets, but these healthier
change
eating approaches.
Life.
What did you say?
Change of life.
So it's kind of like you have to just, you know, keep eating in a healthy way,
right,
to kind of counteract that early menopause that you went through.
So, yeah. So, Kathy, I think to answer your question really in a nutshell is that you don't have to, you know, suffer if you start really taking care of yourself and doing all the right things. I mean, yes,
okay.
You had menopause early, but if you do everything to, you know, balance your hormones now and eat properly, you should be fine.
Come take Wendy's class, because
okay.
it's a 3-hour class, isn't it?
It is, and it should be 6.
Yeah.
But it's, you
but
know,
it's
we get
three.
We get a good start.
So we start
yep.
at 9 and or
six.
Start at 6 and
end
at 9.
But it'll give you a lot more information.
It's only like $49, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's great.
I don't look
class.
At the prices. I just show
you,
up.
But you, I mean, you know, you
yeah.
have fun when
because yeah,
Wendy's
do.
Teaching and it's fun. So
okay, well, I'll keep listening to you this morning.
Okay,
thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. I think Lynn was next.
Okay.
Lynn, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks
hi.
For taking me.
Thanks for waiting.
That's okay. My question is, you know what? I kind of have all the symptoms that the other ladies have been talking about, but what my real concern is, I'm having a lot of hot flashes. I wasn't having them for a few months, and now they're back.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually taking your pro bono product because
mm-hmm.
I have osteopenia.
Yep.
I take the 5,000 milligrams extra of vitamin D3 because I'm really low on that.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And 1,000 milligrams of the omega-3, plus I'm gluten intolerant.
Okay.
So what can I do so that
well,
I can alleviate this?
Have you added any progesterone cream?
No.
I think would be the next step.
Okay.
And get a good quality. We have a couple of different brands at our office. One that doesn't have other chemicals in it, and one that gets absorbed well. Those are kind of our criteria when we pick products.
Okay. Have those right at your White Bear Lake?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And then start using like probably a quarter to a half a teaspoon at bedtime.
Yeah, and the other thing, Lynn, is you know, are you balancing your blood sugar? Are you eating every, like, 2.5 to 3 hours some protein, fat, and carbs?
You know, I'm probably not doing that very well this time of the year.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, you know, on a crazy schedule running here and there, so I'm probably not eating very well.
Okay, you have to. That's a first.
That, right. That is just critical in balancing your blood sugar. That if your blood sugar is high or low, that really affects our hormones. So I want you to do that part too.
Okay, and I'm probably going to sign up for your class.
Oh, please! Great.
Great.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Lynn. Okay. So I think we have time to take one more class. One more class.
One more break. One more.
So, Kathy, welcome to the show. Kathy is our name today. Hello, Kathy.
Oh, is this Kathy? Is it Kathy from Plymouth you want to talk to?
It is Kathy from Plymouth.
All right. I was just talking to my neighbor, too. So, okay. I eat balanced about 90% of the time thanks to many of your classes, and it's like night and day, the results. I'm just astonished. So this is probably a little bit more of a comment. When I fall off the wagon for a day or two with sweets, because that's my downfall, I am just amazed at how I plummet.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because I'm so weaned from it, but I will plummet. And it's usually increased sugar and maybe lack of exercise, you know, for a few days, because I do that pretty regularly. I will just plummet in my moods, and everything looks terrible. And I don't want to believe, every time it happens, I don't want to believe that it's my food and my exercise.
You don't,
I think I want to deny that, but it happens every time.
I think that's a great comment.
Yeah. And I sometimes feel like I want to go back on Prozac that I got off of thanks to your classes, because I don't want to believe it's the food. And so I guess I don't know. It's not really a question. It's just a comment. I'd like you to comment on how I plummet. For me, sugar, a day or two, if I've been eating balanced, the hot flashes are immediate.
Yep, exactly.
I will not have, for me, you know, I'm lucky that way. It's, but I guess I just need you to comment on the plummeting and how severe it can be.
I mean, what it is, you know, you now are, when you're eating balanced and you're eating the weight and wellness way, you feel great. You probably never felt this great in your life.
Yes.
And so now when you add the sugar, you realize how lousy you were feeling your whole life before.
Yeah,
and it's
apparently.
But you know what? That's what makes people continue to eat in balance, because you don't want to feel that way.
Right.
You know, you could put on a few pounds and that wouldn't make the difference. But when you start to feel just awful again, and you start having those hot flashes, or you feel low moods, like, you know, you said low moods, you needed Prozac. Well, you don't need Prozac when you're eating this way.
Exactly.
Guys, that's great. I mean, what a great.
But also, Kathy, when you look at the biochemistry of how your body works, you know, sugar actually increases insulin. And insulin is our body's most powerful hormone. I'm sure you heard that in our classes, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so insulin really directs all of our other hormones. And also your blood sugar, when it's low, it stresses out your adrenals. So it, you know, it just makes perfect sense if people really, again, look at the biochemistry of how our body works.
And how that little bit of sugar can just throw
really
it
mess,
all off.
Mess with our hormones. Absolutely.
And because you feel so bad so quickly, I am having longer and longer stretches in between being bad.
Okay, that's good. Okay, you keep working on it.
Okay. One comment for a woman that called in earlier. I am a nurse, and I've been talking to my patients a lot about your class. And a patient came in yesterday. He said, you know, he only ate one meal a day. He said, I started eating breakfast. And then since I started eating breakfast, he lost 7 pounds. So
wow, yes.
It's just a good, you know.
You keep spreading the word. Let's get people healthy. Okay,
all right,
thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, it's time to take another break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you are tired of that menopausal weight gain, or any weight gain for that matter, check out our new Nutrition for Weight Loss program. This program is based on the new science of weight loss. Learn the biochemical principles of weight loss, change those habits that are holding you back, and get back into those pants or dress. Or this program includes 12 classes and 2 one-hour consultations with a nutritionist. Make this fall
the fall
that you start feeling good again.
Yes. We'll be back
in
a minute.
We'll be right back.
My Talk 107.1.
Spending
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, next week, be sure to tune in because we have a special guest, Dr. Stacy McCary, who is going to help us understand the relationship of environmental toxins, food sensitivities, and a variety of other things that have led to an alarming increase in ADD, ADHD, and autism in the United States. She is an international expert on cutting-edge nutritional intervention to support the reduction of autism spectrum symptoms. So share this topic with your friends if you know somebody that has a child with autism, because one out of 133 children now are being diagnosed with autism today. So
yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Yeah.
That is very interesting. We always have interesting things to talk about, don't we?
We try to. We work at it.
We do. But I want to go back to letting people know about our brand new class, our Nutrition for Weight Loss program, Dar, because you've been working, well, we've been working on this, you said 2 years, but
two years.
I think it's been longer than that.
Probably.
You know, discussing back and forth. And,
right.
And then also really putting together the everything that we think people need to move forward with this weight loss. You know, the good information in the classes.
The 12 classes.
But also revamping our counseling system so that we can get, you know, in 1 hour to move people in the right direction if they have cravings or sleep or any of those things. We really need to address those along the way. So this class, I think, is set up perfectly. Not that we're not going to need to do some tweaking down the road, but just please join us in this endeavor. It's just really we're targeting the weight loss and
in a healthy way so that you end up losing weight and being
and feeling
healthier.
Good sleeping, feeling good, doing
yes.
all the things that are...
You know, you'll still have your muscles after you get done and all those things that are so important. And again, it's 12 classes. It's 2 one-hour counseling sessions with one of the nutritionists or with Wendy or anybody that, you know, on staff. And we're going to focus on metabolism and cravings in those...
And accountability.
And accountability and also... lifestyle factors.
Yep.
So all those things.
Looking at all that.
Yes.
And we got 12 weeks to do it. So we're going to take one more call here. Carol, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Excuse me. I've got a couple questions and a cold.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I think my daughter, she's 39 and a half, and I think she's starting perimenopause. She thinks maybe she is.
Uh-huh.
Missed periods, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Question, are there blood tests that determine where she is at with that?
I think more important.
They're not really accurate. You know, they can really be all over the place, and so I wouldn't totally rely on them, but... There are blood tests, yes.
I strongly feel that early menopause is a reflection on the nutritional status of that person and possibly how much stress that they're experiencing in life.
Oh, she is weak, weak, weak. That's my second question on the perimenopause. She's weak on all of those, very weak.
Right. And so I would say she more important is to have her come in and see Wendy and do a one-on-one to get the nutrition going and avoid going into perimenopause. You know, an average age for menopause is like...
It's supposed 50, to be 51.
Okay, 51.
Yeah,
I was going to say 52.
Uh-huh.
So what we have seen this over and over, is that we start working with somebody that's 39 and they don't go into perimenopause or menopause. They get their nutrition in order and lo and behold, it doesn't happen until they're in their 50s. So,
I'm going to tell her all this now. She's experiencing, I don't know if it's just stress or if it's connected to hormonal, extreme mood changes now. She's going through
sure.
a real bad time.
Yeah.
Real, real bad time. Okay. Well,
that sounds pretty hormonal. And most people don't realize, Carol, that our blood sugar plays a huge, huge, huge role in our hormones. So I think we could help her out a lot. If she could maybe come to class or do a consult.
I would love it. I would love it. I'm going to try and get her to do it. Second question, second topic. I am... I've been frightened by progesterone. This is for myself now. For progesterone cream, any kind of hormone... intake.
Okay.
They tell me you guys are perfectly comfortable with using them because I have trouble like the other one sleeping, et cetera, et cetera.
Certainly we are, and because it's been used for at least 50 years, and there's been no reported harmful effect from using it. And, you know, when people use like an over-the-counter, a good quality over-the-counter progesterone cream, it is basically has, for a quarter of a teaspoon, it has 20 milligrams.
Which is what your body makes every day.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Should make if you're ovulating.
Right.
And so what gets absorbed, maybe 10 milligrams.
Okay.
And so it's a very low dosage. And there's, you know, it's the estrogens that we have to be careful about, but not the progesterone.
I'm going to try them again. My last question. I did try the progesterone cream. I got it from a chiropractic office that came out of Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I got so mean.
You got mean?
Yes. I noticed a change in my mood.
That's not that
edgy, mean, yeah, and I'm not like that.
No, okay. You know, and that's
I put it away. I put it, so I should try your product.
Well, I think
You know what? I think maybe because sometimes people can react to many different things. There might have been something in it, or you can certainly try it. But if you're really scared, Carol, I think sitting down with a nutritionist for a couple hours to really help you figure out, because maybe that puts something else out of balance that you're not doing also, you see.
You haven't experienced any of that? You don't hear that often?
No.
It's rare. It's extremely rare, but anybody can react to anything.
Sure. Yes.
Sure.
Oh, good. Well, lots of good answers. I'm going to try yours, though.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm doing pretty good on my nutrition. I've been listening to you guys for a long time.
Excellent,
excellent. It's my daughter who needs help in that area. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very
good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So, you know, I think one of the things, Wendy, you know, as we can tell, I mean, Carol's a perfect good example. We have a lot of confusion about hormones.
Yes, we do.
And
absolutely.
In fact, I want to talk about one of the largest studies ever taken on diet and health. It was the European Prospective Investigation for Cancer and Nutrition. And it's turned up some very interesting finding about women's hormones. This long-term investigation of over 500,000 women found that estrogen and androgen increases breast cancer risks both before and after menopause. But the hormone progesterone does not.
Of course. That makes perfect sense.
Yes. So 500,000.
500,000 women.
Yes.
That's a big study. Also, the International Journal of Cancer found a link to lower endometrial cancer when there are lower levels of estrogen.
So low levels of estrogen.
And higher levels of progesterone. So from this research, it would seem that as women, we must guard against having excess estrogen and we need to add progesterone.
So what are some other benefits of progesterone? Well, now, you know, I always think you have to think in terms of how much to use, too. We're not talking about excessive. We're just talking about a little. This hormone helps our body metabolize fat for energy. It helps to metabolize fat. Isn't that interesting?
It helps to metabolize fat.
And it's a natural diuretic. Now, there's some other benefits of natural progesterone.
Well, progesterone completely supports our thyroid function. It also supports our adrenals. It helps to maintain a normal sex drive. It calms anxiety, helps to stimulate the maturing of cells. So when we get too much estrogen, that makes your cells divide faster. And so then we end up with cancer because we don't have the progesterone to slow down and mature those cells.
And 75% of women are low on progesterone.
That's right.
So,
and best of all, it helps us sleep.
Sleep. Thanks for listening today, and I'll see you soon next week.
Okay.
And Wendy, thank you.
And I'll see everybody at the menopause class. Thanks for listening.